This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In the year of Aam al-Wufud, the year that was known as the year of delegations, this was a year when people were entering into Islam at the time of our Prophet in large numbers. And they would come to the Prophet in Wufud, in delegations. The tribe would send a delegation to go and meet the Prophet and they would accept Islam at his hands. One delegation, when they arrived in Medina, Banu Abd al-Qais, they arrived in Medina and they immediately went to see the Prophet ﷺ to accept Islam. And when I say they did this immediately, I mean immediately. They left their camels, they left their steeds, they left their stuff, they just dropped it down and they went straight into the masjid. Some of them said they didn't even tie their camels. They just went straight into the masjid. And one person in the entire delegation stayed behind. His name was Al-Ashaj. He tied his camel, and he changed his clothing, and he prepared himself before he went in to meet the Prophet ﷺ. Now you can imagine the difference between the people. Everyone else just went straight into the masjid to meet the Prophet. And imagine a long journey in Arabia. You're dusty, you're dirty from the sand in the desert. You've been sweating, the sun is beating on you. So your clothes are a mess, your hair is a mess. And they went straight to see the Prophet. Meanwhile, this Sahabi enters, and he looks good, and his clothes are clean and new. And so you can imagine the stark and the contrast between them. So when the Prophet ﷺ sees this man who looks clearly different than everyone else in the delegation, he calls him and tells him, come sit next to me. And the Prophet ﷺ speaks to him and he tells him, إِنَّ فِيكَ خُسْنَتَانْ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهِ. He said, you have two characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. He said, الْحِلْمْ وَالْأَنَا. You have this concept of حِلْمْ, forbearance, and ana, which is calmness. Hilm is to restrict yourself when you're angry from acting in an improper way. In fact, the Arabs used to use the word hilm as a synonym for aql, for intellect, intelligence. In that the person who's truly intelligent will not react out of anger, will not just react like they'll think, what am I going to do? They'll have tolerance, they'll have forbearance, they'll think through what they're about to do. And the other quality, ana, is calmness and composure and poise. And these qualities are the opposite of al-ajal, to be hasty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes haste, the quality of haste in the Quran in many places. He says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Mankind has been created of haste. Part of us is to be hasty, to react emotionally, even irrationally. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ. That man will pray for evil as though he is praying for good. We say, oh Allah, please give me this thing that I want. And you don't realize the thing you're asking for is actually evil. You think it's good. So you're praying for it as though it's good, but it's really evil. Because we're emotional. Sometimes we pray for things, we don't even realize, we haven't really thought it through, that the thing you're asking for is actually not good for you. And then Allah says, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. And indeed, man has been hasty. Man is ever hasty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes haste, and He praises forbearance, and He praises calmness. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-ta'anni min Allah wal-ajla min ash-shaytan." Calmness comes from Allah, and hastiness comes from shaytan. Calmness, composure, thinking things through, these are qualities that come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring us closer to Allah azza wa jalla. And haste, being quick in our emotion and reacting without thinking, these are qualities that bring you closer to shaytan. In the hadith we mentioned, there's another narration, the Prophet ﷺ tells Al-Ashaj, he said the two characteristics are at-ta'anni, calmness, and at-tu'ada, composure, composing yourself. He asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, O Messenger of Allah, Are these qualities that I acquired, or are these qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instilled in me? Like, was I born this way, or did I acquire these qualities? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, no, Allah instilled them in you. So he said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi jabalani ala ma yuhibbu Allah wa rasuluh. He said, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah who instilled in me that which Allah and His Messenger love. But this indicates to us that characteristics can be attained different ways. Some people are born naturally with a disposition. Some people are naturally more patient than other people. Some people are naturally more calm than other people. But even if we were born with less of these qualities, we can still acquire them. We know the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Innama al-'ilmu bit-ta'allum wa innama al-hilmu bit-tahallum." He said, very powerful hadith. He says, knowledge is by ta'allum, by learning, by acquiring knowledge. This is something we all understand. We all know we didn't know something, then we know we learned something. Since we were kids, we were gaining knowledge. But then he says, hilm, forbearance, a characteristic, is by being forbearing. Right? We can acquire tolerance and forbearance. We can acquire patience and perseverance. Even if we weren't instilled with these values from a young age or at birth, we can acquire them by learning them and implementing them into our lives and striving to act upon them. And so, throughout the Quran, we see different scenarios of calmness and haste that bring to us, you know, bring to our attention the importance of these characteristics. For example, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises Musa a meeting with Allah azza wa jalla, a private meeting between Allah and Musa. And so Musa leaves his people early and he goes to meet with Allah azza wa jalla. And so Allah asks him, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What made you hasty, O Musa, to leave your people? And Musa alayhi salam says, قَالَ هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَىٰ. He said, my people are not far behind. Either he means they are physically close to me, I can go to them quickly, or he means they are not far behind my teachings. They are close to my sunnah. And then he says, but I came quickly to you, I hasted to you, O Allah, in order for you to be happy, for you to be pleased. And then Allah says, قَالَ فَإِنَّا قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ وَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي. Allah says, we tested your people while you were here, and As-Samiri has misguided them. This is the story of the idol, the golden calf, and they begin to worship it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa a lesson here, because you were hasty and you left your people too early, before Iman has become strong with them, they were tested with idolatry and they fell into the practice of idolatry. We also see this in the story of Musa with Al-Khidr, that the Prophet ﷺ mentions, Musa tells Al-Khidr after, you know, when they're together, and he tells Al-Khidr, I'll be patient, and then he is not patient. He asks the question, why did this happen? And then he tells him, give me one more chance. And the Prophet ﷺ says, why was Musa hasty? Why did he say, give me one more chance? If he just tried, didn't say this, and continued, we might have seen amazing things in the story of Musa and Al-Khidr. Instead, the story was cut short because he was hasty and he said, give me one more chance. These are examples. There's the example of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. He leaves his people early without the permission of Allah azza wa jalla. He's angry and he acts out of haste. Right? He thinks there's no use in the people, he leaves them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him through test and trial into the stomach of the whale. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells our Prophet, فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ. Allah says to the Prophet, be patient for the judgment of your Lord and do not be like the man of the whale. إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْثُومٌ. When he called out to Allah while he was distressed. And we see in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the opposite. Yusuf alayhi salam is in prison for many years, in a difficult circumstance, unjustly imprisoned. And the king sends the messenger to tell him, come out of jail. We know the story. He sees the dream. They say nobody can interpret the dream. Somebody says, I know someone who can. He's in prison. They go to Yusuf alayhi salam. He gives them the interpretation of the dream. Now the king is happy. He says, bring me this man out of prison. And so the man comes running The king wants you to come out of prison. What does Yusuf alayhi salam say? He said, "Irja ila rabbik fas'alhu ma bal niswati allati qata'na aydihun." He says, go back to your Lord, go back to your king, and tell him, find out what happened to the women who cut off their hands. Go investigate my case. He's saying, I don't want to come out free until you investigate my case. The Prophet ﷺ says, لَوْ لَبِثْتُ فِي السِّجْنِ طُولَ مَا لَبِثَ يُوسُفْ لَأَجَبْتُ الدَّاعِي. The Prophet said, if I was in prison for as long as Yusuf was in prison, I would have responded to him. I would have said, yes, take me out of the prison. Because the Prophet is telling us it's really difficult to be imprisoned, especially in those circumstances, in those times, in that place. It would have been very difficult. The Prophet said, the difficulty would have made me want to respond to the caller. Yet Yusuf didn't. He stayed. Why did he stay? Because he's thinking forward. If I come out of prison, I'll be free. But everyone will say, weren't you accused of this and that? Weren't you accused of this? His reputation would be damaged. How could he be a da'i? How can he call people to Allah if his reputation is damaged? So he says, no, I don't want to come out of prison free. I want to come out of prison innocent. I want everyone to know that I was innocent. So go investigate the case. This is composure. This is ta'anni. This is thinking things through. And we see this importance throughout our religion. The Prophet ﷺ said, As-samt al-hasan wa tu'ada wal-iqtisad. Beautiful disposition, having beautiful conduct, the way you speak to people, the way you dress, as-samt al-hasan, at-tu'ada, calmness, wal-iqtisad, moderation. These are 1/24th parts of, 1 out of 24 parts of prophethood. Right? This is a part of prophethood, to have these characteristics. And we see this in our religion in many places. For example, we know in Islam that a man can issue divorce. He can divorce his wife. But in Islam, there are 3 divorces. The first divorce is revocable. He can divorce her and then he can take it back. He can say, I take back the divorce. And he can do it a second time. He can divorce her, but then he can revoke it. However, on the third time, it is irrevocable. Once he divorces her 3 times, he cannot take her back anymore. The relationship is over. Unless she were to marry someone else and divorce from someone else, then she could perhaps marry him in the future. This is a responsibility Allah has given men. And it is haram for a man to tell his wife 3 times in one sitting, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. This is haram in our religion. Right? It's bid'ah. It's sinful. Now there's a difference of opinion between scholars. If a person were to say, you are divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced, is that 3 divorces? He can't take her back anymore? Or is that 1 divorce? All 4 madhabs say it is 3 divorces. Some scholars like Ibn Taymiyyah said, it is 1 divorce. There's a difference of opinion. It's not important. What's important is it's haram to do this. Allah is telling you, I'm giving you responsibility, but you have to have calmness. You have to know what you're doing. You have to think this through. A man came to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, I divorced my wife 3 times. What should I do? Ibn Abbas says, I don't see a way out for you. The man said, oh Ibn Abbas, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will give him a way out. Allah says this in the Quran. Ibn Abbas tells him, وَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تَتَّقِ اللَّهِ. He said, and you didn't fear Allah. You didn't fear Allah. And you disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you said the divorce 3 times in one sitting. He said, I don't see any way forward for you. So Allah is training us to be deliberate, to be thoughtful, to not be quick and rash in our decisions. You know, why would a person pronounce divorce 3 times? Maybe he's ignorant of the ruling. But the other reason is he's emotional. And he lets his emotions take control of him. But no, for you to be a real man, you have to be in control and to think things through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِن بِيُوتِهِنْ. Don't kick them out of their homes. Like if you divorce them, you don't tell them you have to leave now. They stay in the home. And she observes the iddah period. So that even in that iddah period, you are thinking through, do you really want to go through with this divorce? Is this really the correct decision? We see haste in our ibadah. When the man came and prayed in front of the Prophet, prayed very quickly. The Prophet told him, irja fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. He said, go back and pray, you didn't pray. And the man goes and prays again and comes and the Prophet tells him again, go back and pray, you didn't pray. And he tells him, oh Messenger of Allah, teach me, I don't know. So the Prophet tells him, when you stand and you recite from the verses of Allah. And then when you go into ruku'a, حتى تطمئن, you go into ruku'a until you are content. Your body goes there, you are content with your form. And you are content in what you are saying, and you understand what you are saying. And then you come out of your idea of to be calm in your prayer, to have calmness in this. We see as well, the haste in believing news and information or following assumptions. We know when the Prophet ﷺ sent some people to collect zakah from a tribe. And these people went to collect zakah, and some of them went forward. And the tribe had people in horses with swords standing awaiting them. So they ran back and they said, they're going to kill us. They have an army ready, they're going to kill us. So the whole group went back to the Prophet ﷺ and said, they don't want to pay the zakah and they have an army and they're prepared to kill us. What did our Prophet ﷺ do? Some of the Sahaba said, let's get an army ready, let's go fight them. What did our Prophet do? He said, go find out what happened. This isn't enough information. Find out what happened. Let's be sure of this information. So they sent an envoy. And the people, when they heard what was said about them, that they were going to fight and they were going to not pay the zakah, they said, "A'udhu billah min sakhatillah." They said, we seek Allah's refuge from the anger of Allah. They said, we were there to do a welcome, like an honoring welcome. You know, when you have a military welcome, somebody's coming and you have the soldiers and you're prepared to show respect. That's why we had the men with the swords, and we had the money all prepared to give our zakah. So it's not just hearing news and relaying it. It's not just assuming the worst about people and spreading it. It's thinking things through. It's being calm, having composure, looking for what actually is true and verifying news. And we have this in our religion. Like, there is a qa'ida fiqhiyah. We say, من تعجل شيء دون أوانه عوقب بحرمانه. Right? Whoever is hasty for something, دون أوانه, before its appointed time, عوقب بحرمانه, he is punished by being prevented from it. This is a principle in fiqh, because we find it in many rulings. Like what? Like the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who kills the murderer cannot inherit. So if somebody, you know, his father is wealthy, says, I want my inheritance. So he kills his father to get the inheritance. The Prophet said, no, he's not allowed to inherit. Because he killed his father. Because he tried to be hasty to take something, even if that thing belonged to him, then his inheritance belongs to him. Because he's hasty, and he commits haram to do so, and now he can't take it anymore. Right? Another example, a man on his deathbed decides, I don't want my wife to inherit. I want all my money to go to my children. So he divorces his wife on his deathbed. The scholars say, she still inherits. Because he's trying to go around it. He's being hasty, trying to go around the rules. Another example, the scholars say, somebody slaughters a donkey to take the skin to use the leather. Instead of the donkey dying on its own, he slaughters the donkey for the leather. It's not permissible, the leather becomes haram. Right? And there's a lot of examples of this. You cannot be hasty in acquiring things in this way. You have to wait for its appointed time. And this is our religion teaches us to be calm and to be composed and to think things through. And there's haste in acquiring wealth as well. We see the example of Ali radiallahu anhu, when he had his horse and he was going to go into the masjid to pray. And he sees a man, he says, can you hold on to the reins of my horse while I go in the masjid and I pray? He goes in the masjid, he prays, he comes out, he can't find the man, he can't find the horse. He looks around, he finds the man has taken the reins off the horse and he's selling the reins for money. 10 dirhams, whatever it is. And Ali radiallahu anhu, he tells him, I was going to pay you the same amount. You stole the reins to sell it, I was going to give you the same amount. As if, you know, thank you. He said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدُ يُحْرِمْ نَفْسَهُ الرِّزْقِ الْحَلَالِ بِتَرْكِ الصَّبْرِ وَلَا يَزْدَادْ عَلَى مَا قُدِّرَ لَهُ. He says, a man will prevent himself from halal money by taking it, by not being patient. And he will not attain more than what has been already decreed for him. Like, you were going to get those 10 dirhams no matter what. You were going to get them from halal, from me, but you took them from haram by selling the reins. And he said, you're never going to get more than what Allah has apportioned for you. But all you're doing is deciding to take it from haram rather than deciding to take it from halal. And this is the way of intelligence and the way of thinking. فأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Our religion is a religion of moderation. And that means, even though we say the believer should be calm and composed and have poise and not be hasty, there are exceptions. And there are times where we should be hasty. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَتُؤَدَى فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا فِي عَمِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. He said, calmness should be in all things except the actions of the Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Race towards good deeds. You don't be calm about good deeds. Well, I don't want to fast and, you know, maybe I'll do it later on. No, no, no. When it's good deeds, you take the opportunity. You rush towards it. You do it as good as you can. You give for the sake of Allah. You pray extra. Good deeds, we're hasty towards them. So the Prophet says, calmness is good in everything, except when it comes to good deeds. Now you want to compete. Now you want to race. You want to go for it. Likewise, haste is good in all things, except when it comes to repaying an injustice. Returning an entrustment, for example. We know the hadith, when a man passed away, and the Prophet ﷺ says, does he owe anything? They said, he owns 2 dirhams. Not too much money, 2 dirhams. One of the sahaba said, I will pay it for him. It's on me. So, they buried the man that day. The Prophet ﷺ the next day found the man. Qatada, he said to him, what happened to the 2 dirhams? What did you do with it? Where is it? The man said, Ya Rasulullah, we just buried him yesterday. You know, yesterday we're burying him, washing him, all this stuff was happening. You know, I was busy. The Prophet said, okay. The next day, the Prophet went to find him again. What did you do with the 2 dirhams? So every day the Prophet's asking him. He said, I paid it, alhamdulillah. The Prophet said, now the skin of your brother has become cooled. Right? Like, if it was not paid, he could have been punished. But now his skin has become cooled because of this. And this shows you to be hasty when it comes to repaying. If an injustice has happened, to repay that injustice. If there's a debt, to repay the debt, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who have the characteristic of haste. Have the characteristic of calmness, and to not be of those who have haste, and only to have haste when it comes to doing good deeds and in averting injustices.